Welcome to our morning show get together today on a Thursday from WRCO. And we're just ahead of a special weekend here in Southwest Wisconsin, as we'll be telling you all about Frank Lloyd Wright's 159th birthday celebration, which is coming up on Sunday. Joining us, Barb Marshall and Jane Kintz. They were here not too long ago. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the A.D. German Warehouse and Conservancy. And Barb, it sounds like things are well underway. You've got big plans for the weekend, it sounds like.
We do have big plans for the weekend. Starting on Friday, we have our usual music in the warehouse. Michael Johnson will be there from 6 to 8, and food by Pretty Kitty Cafe. And I think she's doing the whole month of June for us. I don't know what she's got planned every week, but it's always good. And she always has vegetarian option for those that are looking for that. So it's look forward to that for food. Like you mentioned, Sunday is our 159th birthday celebration, Frank Lloyd Wright birthday celebration, with some special things going on. I'll just go through our June events and then come back, talk about that a little more. So every Sunday, we also have tours available at 11, 12, 1, and 2. Tickets can be bought on site or go to our website through Eventbrite. There's a link there. You can purchase tickets ahead of time if you'd like to do that. The Friday the 12th, we don't have music. We're kind of leaving that open just in case of where the rain location, in case Margie's stage gets rained out. She can come over and see us. So that's just a kind of a regular open bar night, but no music planned unless we're the rain date. The 19th, Friday the 19th, music with Neil Knutson from 5 to 8, and Friday the 26th, music with Michael Johnson again from 6 to 8. And on the 28th, there is a open house or a workshop. Jane will talk about that, wood carving workshop. So I guess go back to Friday or to Sunday's celebration. We've got a storytelling from 11 to 3. We've got a lot of people coming in to tell stories. I'm sorry, 1 to 3 is the story part, to tell our stories and remembrances about Wright in the warehouse. So we'd encourage anybody else who's interested, anybody to come in and listen, or if they've got stories, to come see us. We have photos with Frank Lloyd Wright. We've got our cutout. You can get your picture taken with Frank. We have cake and lemonade, and it just should be a fun day. So
have you had great response, Barb? You've been putting out the word about people getting stories together.
Yes, we've got quite a few people already scheduled to come in and talk, and the mayor will be there at 1 o'clock with a proclamation. So we're looking forward to it. So it should be a good day.
And if somebody wants to go to that, free admission for the storytelling and everything. Very good. Jane, people are telling stories, or maybe they're a little bit intimidated that Frank Lloyd Wright's going to actually show up and say, that's not true.
No, I saw him.
Oh, you
did? Yes.
His favorite is there.
I ordered him.
Oh, the cutout you did.
That's right.
So what did you do? They found a good photo of him?
Yeah, and then I found a photo, life-size cutout. He was only 5'6", 5'6" tall. And so we ordered that, and you can come, Phil, and get your picture taken with Mr. Wright.
I might just do that.
Yes.
So it'd be Mr. Wright and Mr. Wrong together.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So what have you learned so far as you get ready for this big weekend on Sunday?
It's always a lot of work to put an event together, but the stories, here's what I did, and I think I picked the perfect two guys to do it. So John Poole and Barry Zegon are the guys that would call you up and say, hey, do you have any stories to tell about Frank Lloyd Wright, A.D. German, or about the warehouse? And they have a list of names it's gonna be great. We start at 1 o'clock after the proclamation, and then Barb's welcome. And the storytelling starts at 1, and it'll go till 3 or however long. Ben Kelsch will record it. And, it's going to be a a record of history, really, because we have different people who had owned the warehouse or their parents did or whatever. And some of these stories are great. I mean, I really am hoping Bob Bindle can come, because he told me a few years ago that he had been present at the Frank Lloyd Wright's cemetery near Taliesin at the chapel. And when Olga Vanna died, she, in the middle of the night, had him exhumed. It was somehow written that that's what she wanted. And Bob Bindle was there. And I won't tell you the rest of the story or where he ended up or anything else, because you have to come on Sunday.
I think I maybe had heard something of that, but his body, his remains were moved to Arizona then, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
To Taliesin West.
Yeah, it's surprising the number of people around town that had contact with him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Or saw him. He died in 1959, but there are still people who have stories that remember seeing him in town and other things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
There always seems to be some sort of shroud of mystery, though, Jim.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, he was very famous, and he's the most famous architect in the world, born here. I mean, it just amazes me. And so the stories, you know, are going to be really good. Also, I wanted to let you know that the people from the Willows who have the new bed and breakfast at, it's not A.D. German's home near Ithaca, but the German farm. And anyway, they have this beautiful bed and breakfast, and they're coming to tell their stories.
That's awesome.
Also, we have a big variety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go to the Willows, they have a book there that kind of commemorates some of those things, but it does talk about the tie-in with A.D. German's warehouse and things like that. So, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I wanted to say, too, the cake is Frank Lloyd Wright's favorite birthday cake. And every year, Taliesin and Taliesin West would make this same cake for his birthday. It's a chiffon. Christie's is making it. And a lemonade, we're having Mike Meadows in honor of him. We are having his favorite brand of lemonade served at the birthday party. And Mike's birthday was the 14th of this month. And Frank Lloyd Wright's is actually the 8th, but we're open Sunday, the day before. That's when the party is.
Inquiring minds want to know, what kind of cake is it again?
It's a chiffon.
Chiffon.
And kind of probably flunked home ec class, so I couldn't tell you exactly.
I know I did.
Yeah. I'm glad Christy's making it.
Sure.
It's not one of those yeast cakes.
Now, is she making it in a Frank Lloyd Wright design, like a home, like, you know, flat roof or whatever the case might be?
Well, it'll be flat.
It'll be flat.
Yeah, there you go.
Not too flat.
So it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a lot of stuff going on, and I think it is important to recognize him here in the hometown of his birth, right?
It sure is, yes. And the more people learn about him, I think the more proud you are to be from here. Just one more reason to be proud, to be from Richland Center, or to live here.
Put it on the map, because I remember as a kid looking it up, like in the World Book, they used to list his birthplace as Chicago from time to time, for instance.
Oh, that's
like
wrong.
That. So, good to make it known. A lot of Richland Center history. So, Barb, it sounds like you've got a pretty good summer lined up for events at the A.D. German Warehouse.
With the workshops that, we've got, that Jane's got scheduled, and music, I think, every Friday, except the Fridays that we may be, if we can host a rain date for Margie. But it's ongoing events, and
maybe we could recap so far, because I know you had some events in the month of May as well.
We did. We had the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail Welcome Weekend, which was an event where the eight sites from Richland Center to Racine were all open. Special hours had special things going on that weekend. And we had, again, we had music that Friday night. We had a landscape architect from Madison came on Saturday who builds famous buildings with Legos. So he has built a model of the warehouse, and we have that in the warehouse now, made out of Lego.
Oh, cool!
And he was building a smaller one too that day, and we had a tie-dye workshop for 2 days that weekend, and had quite a few people come in and enjoy that, and it was just, you know, kind of a fun. We had a brat sale that weekend too, so made a little money on that, and that was a really good weekend. So
you had me at Legos. The German warehouse has Legos.
Can you'll have to come in and see it. We'll have it out.
You can know, somebody play with that or no?
No, Phil, you may not play with Legos.
I think
warehouse.
They're all glued together now, so somebody can't take it apart. But yeah.
And they're tiny, tiny little things.
And they're all white. It's
really?
Totally, totally white. Yeah.
So it's not the regular size Legos.
No, they're just. I thought it would be. That's how much I know about Legos. So. But it was amazing
really
to watch
cool.
him building these things.
So you got to go to the warehouse to see what that's all about. Then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some other things that you wanted to add, Jane?
Also on this coming Sunday, CJ Gilbert, she lives near Casanova. She's doing a workshop that begins at 9:00 and ends at 4:00. It's called Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dreams. And you know, she's really good. I've been to one of her workshops, and it was very, very good. So if you're interested, she still has a few available spots, and you could contact me, Facebook or email or phone, whatever you would like, or go to the AD German Warehouse Facebook page, and you'll see a phone number there, or just leave a message there. So she's doing that, and plus all the other activities for his birthday. Would you like to hear what else we have planned?
You have some other workshops this month and this summer, too, don't you?
Yes. So I'll just tell you about the June ones. So besides CJ, on June 28th, Kevin Ewing is coming from Rochester, Minnesota. That is David Ewing's brother. David that works at the thrift shop and artistic family. And so Kevin, if you look on his website or Facebook page, you will see these beautiful carvings from wood that he makes. And he is doing a workshop from 10:00 till 3:00 on June 28th. You will have an 8x10 piece of basswood, and he will teach you how to carve design into it, a relief design. And it's only $75. And it's going to be a really good workshop. And there are still a few available spots in it. He will have only 8 people. I believe we have 6 already. So if anybody would like to take that, they should contact us right away. And I'm going to go into July just a tiny bit because Ricky Bishop and I are working with the third floor, and that's the space where the art workshops will be. And we are starting an open studio night, so that will start on July 1st. And what, you know, Phil, you can bring your art project that you're working on at home and come and hang out with other artists, and it'll be just like art class in high school. Oh my gosh. But I'm thinking back to Ken Beatty. But yes, every Wednesday we plan on being open from 6:00 until 8:00, beginning July 1st for Open Studio. You can come up there and use some of our papers and stuff too to just come make art with each other.
That's fun. So in that environment, in that structure, do you feel even more creative?
Oh, it's great. I love going to the third floor, and we call it the drafting room. you know, kind of a nod to Frank Lloyd Wright. And it's a creative space for artists to do their thing. And we'll have more and more workshops. We have a couple of feelers out right now. We're talking to some artists, just not scheduled yet. This all came together at the beginning of April, I think, when we were first able to get furniture to supply the room. And also, oh my gosh, there's so much to tell. Also, we found out about an artist in La Crosse who was closing up her studio, and she gave us lots and lots of art supplies. And, you know, I mean, donations. And we just received a big donation from Richard Newman of a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright books and memorabilia that his wife, who had been a docent at Taliesin for decades, had accumulated. And so we're just so grateful for these kind of things. We plan on having an open house for our third floor, and we haven't set a date yet, but it'll be sometime in July. So I hope people can come and see it and see why we're so excited about that space.
I'm going to try to keep it going through, I guess, the warm months then,
yes,
right?
Yes, because we don't have heat on the third floor. But we're going to get water, right? Yeah, we're getting water. I said right to Barb Strang Marshall.
And figured out a way.
Yeah, she did. And so we're very excited about that, so we don't have to, you know, take buckets of water upstairs. By the way, if anybody has a paper cutter that they're not attached to, we would love to have a donation of a paper cutter, a large one preferably, but, you know, just it's like the number one thing you use in an art space.
Oh,
so
yes.
Yeah, anyway, that would be most welcome.
Donations, as you mentioned, art supplies and things like that.
Always welcome.
You wouldn't turn them down.
No, I mean, I'd like to see what they are first, and you know, some of the things we can certainly use. So yeah, that would be wonderful.
Barbara, there are other celebrations going on in commemoration of Frank Lloyd Wright's birthday.
Are. Taliesin does have some special events going on down there with tours, and also the Unitarian Meeting House has kind of a weekend thing. And there's, if you just go to their websites, Unitarian Meeting House in Madison, and I'm sure the other sites do too. I don't have that right in front of me, but you know, that's a general thing. Most of the sites do have something special for the birthday weekend. So, yeah, there's lots to do. You could make a tour again on
right.
the trail.
And, I was going to say, a lot of people do that, you know, and find right. Richland Center, hopefully, as well, at the beginning or the end of the tour.
Right.
Yeah, so. Beginning.
Beginning.
It's We're a good the beginning. Place to start.
We are the start. This is, since he was born here, this is the beginning. So, yeah, we did have one other thing that did happen in May was last Friday we had a large group from Taliesin come up, about 30 of their employees and docents, and they brought the bus up, and everybody came in and learned about the warehouse and had a tour, and it's been really good collaboration with Taliesin, and it was good to get them all up there. A lot of them had not been in the building, so it really, they can promote it.
It's good now. To work together, isn't it?
Yes. So that was a really nice thing for them to come up and do. So,
were either of you present when they were there?
Yeah, we were both there.
You were both there?
Yep.
Was there a common question or curiosity or anything like that came up?
Well, I saw a guy kiss Frank Lloyd Wright stand-up. I thought that was pretty fun.
You know,
they were very interested.
Yeah, I think they're all just very much kind of in awe of what we got there and, you know, what we've done and how far we've gotten. It just work on the building. So.
It really is a hidden treasure.
Though. Yeah, it is.
You know, it really
it is.
And for those of us that grew up around here, we didn't get a lot of opportunities growing up to be in there, get in there.
So. Right. Absolutely.
So now's the opportunity. What are the hours again on Friday nights generally through the summer?
We open at 3:30 until 9. So that's all every Friday all year. Well, except I think we're going to close July 3rd just as a holiday weekend that Friday because give everybody a break. But otherwise, 3:30 to 9, and tours from every Sunday from now until through the first Sunday in October. Private tours are available anytime. Contact us either, they can email us and we'll get back to you to set something up for a private tour if you can't make it on a Sunday. So,
Jane, anything you want to add today?
Yes. Sue Davison is our featured artist, and she does encaustics and cold wax paintings. They are on display in the on the first floor. So you can see them whenever we're open on Fridays or Sundays, and they're for sale. She's a local artist. She lives by Five Points, and her work is excellent. So she's got her work up until June 28th, and the next featured artists are brother and sister team, Rick Momartz and his sister Shelley Rowe. And he creates these beautiful, very unique pendants from all kinds of materials, all kinds of metals, and even wood, stone. And then Shelley does the beadwork for the chain. So they'll be coming in. We'll have an opening for them in July. But we can talk to you more about that next time.
You can come back for that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So goals, I know there's always the ongoing fundraising and things like that. Anything in the immediate future for upgrades, Barb?
Our first goal is the elevator, getting that funded and put in. That's a big step, and we're working towards that, so... Like you said, donations are always appreciated. Any amounts, we're very appreciative of the support we've gotten from the community. So it's been wonderful. So,
and I'm guessing somebody's always looking at the possibility of grants.
Oh yes, we are. We're some in the process now. So it's a wait and see. You know, they take a while to get everything done and in place. So we're working on that. So.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Should be a great time. Again, we can recap the hours on Sunday, and the tours will be there normally. But again, right. Storytelling at 1 o'clock. I look forward to hearing about that, Jane.
Well, you should come, Phil.
Well, I have a game unless it gets rained out. Oh, so, okay. But maybe I'll be there a little bit later. I can watch Ben's recording of it, though.
There you go. Right. For sure, you could do that.
Ben Kels will be taping it there.
Mm-hmm.
So stories, and one of my favorites came from Gene Burkett.
Oh,
and we're gonna share that here as we close off this. Thanks for coming in today, ladies.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Again, speaking of stories of Frank Lloyd Wright, Jean Burkett, and I'd heard this story once before. I think it's in her book, if I'm not mistaken. But she told this at the Making a Difference Awards held in January, and we featured it on our morning show back then. But we'll go back to a story about Frank Lloyd Wright from Jean Burkett.
But we did have one customer that came in one day, and his name was Frank Lloyd Wright. And it was during the war, and he was typical of customers who weren't regular customers. He came in and he asked for all the rare, unavailable items like butter or sugar or cigarettes or something. And at every request, my sister Anna, the oldest sister, who's not living anymore, but she, my oldest sister, would say, no, we don't have that. No, I'm sorry, we don't have that. And finally, Frank Lloyd Wright stood up in his rather short glory and said, do you know who I am? And my sister said, yes, you're Frank Lloyd Wright. And my name is Anna Knabel, and I'm glad to meet you. And we call that the coming of age and the coming down of Mr. Frank Lloyd Wright, who perhaps is a wonderful architect, but we know too much about him around here, don't we?
Thanks to Barb and Jane for being our guests on the first part of the morning show. Frank Lloyd Wright, history made here at WRCO as well. We have a rare interview with Frank Lloyd Wright in our archives, at least one with undocumented WRCO announcer in the 1950s. This goes back to 1957, a little WRCO history today on the morning show.
Now, then, that takes care of the foreign situation. Domestically, Mr. Wright, have you any buildings in progress here in the United States?
We have more now than I've had all my lifetime put together before. We have a very heavy schedule, which we're endeavoring to meet. And it includes all kinds of buildings, almost all buildings you could think of, I guess.
Business and residential.
There's no use in enumerating them.
No, certainly not.
There must be over 100 of them.
Well, now, am I correct in saying that you have literally headquartered here at Taliesin for approximately 60 years?
No.
No?
We have been here at Taliesin since 1911.
1911.
The studio you're now sitting in was the original studio, which was built in 1911. Taliesin was since destroyed by fire twice. But this was not destroyed.
Oh?
The building's over beyond there. That's the third building. But this has been here since 1911. And in this, the original buildings proceeded from here since then.
Did you start your fellowship in 32, wasn't it?
1932. Mrs. Wright and I decided, because we had no work much to do, that we would make architects as well as architecture. And the experiment turned out very successfully. We're today a foundation with a cultural purpose, educating some 60 young people continuously, and they come to us from all over the world.
Well, now, your headquarters here, of course, these are your principal headquarters in the summertime.
In wintertime, we're in Phoenix,
in
Arizona.
Taliesin West. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had the privilege of hearing you at the press club a number of years ago speak to all the press people down there. Do you find the atmosphere as conducive to architecture there as you do here in your native habitat?
Oh, absolutely, yes. There's a complete change. The desert is something they don't understand when they build out there. The people from Iowa and Wisconsin and other parts go out there and do the same little things on the ground there they would do at home. When we went there, we tried to conform to the beauty of the desert. And we built buildings which they thought were extraordinarily were weird and peculiar. But they seemed to belong. They seemed to be making their way. And after all, when you build in the desert, you're building an oasis. So the qualities and characteristics of an oasis, not New York streets, ought to characterize the region. But they're all sidewalk happy out there now and doing precisely the same thing they do in other towns. And Arizona is lost so far as culture is concerned in that region.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you leave Arizona and come back here to Spring Green and Taliesin, do you feel like you're coming home?
Oh, yes, this is home. My grandfather came here about 125 years ago with his sons and daughters. He had 9 children living and broke the ground here when the Indians were still here.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I'm one of these examples in America, the third generation going back home to try and beautify, redeem, and expand his birthright. Well, that's Taliesin.
Well, now, what does this embrace, Mr. Wright, in acreage? An awful lot.
Oh, we have about 4,000 acres, 5 miles of the riverfront, and we're having it only to preserve it. We're not using it. Never intend to use it until the time comes when some development or other could be made commensurate with the beauty of the architecture that we have subscribed to. We call it organic architecture.
Am I correct in surmising that the members of your fellowship maintain the farm, do their own work, do the cooking and things like that? What was your thinking back of that, sir?
Well, I'm a great believer in the virtue of democracy. And I do not believe the principles of democracy are being upheld by the educational system that we practice. So I thought that if it was put upon a little more realistic basis, where all of the experiences that go to make family life and make the individual could be operative, and they were put into an existence of that sort, that we could open the doors and windows on architecture to them with greater effect, and I think experience has proved that we have done so. Over 100 architects come back here and testify to the great value to them of their experience at Taliesin, but we've never submitted any such testimony. We've never had a chance to do it, because it was all presented on a technical basis purely, and any judgment concerning it that's been given was, of course, entirely beside the mark.
What do you in point of years, sir?
There is pretty hard to say what the average is. Some come here with only money for a year and have to get out and work. Then some come with better off, better circumstanced, and stay for years. We have boys who have been with us from all the way from 1 year to 23 years.
Good night.
And some find a home here with us and continue to work, become what you'd call professors, I guess, in universities.
I see.
We have about 11 of those.
Oh, yes. Well, now, Mr. Wright, I know that you're cognizant of the fact that next Saturday is Frank Lloyd Wright Day and the famous 100th birthday of Spring Green. And are you actively, that is, Taliesin East, actively participating in the celebration of the centennial?
Well, as a lay figure, I'm doing my best. I hope they have a successful time, and I'll contribute to it all I can. My attitude is cooperative. Well, I haven't encouraged it.
I see. Well, now, as a layman might ask, in all of the boys that you've turned out and things like that, as I understand it, that you don't necessarily have to be an architect to come to you. You can be an artist or an interior decorator, anything of the creative line. Is that true?
Anything except an inferior desecrator.
I see what you mean. Well, then I'm going to close on this note, Mr. Wright, that I think that you've done a wonderful job for the young architects of America. And, of course, architecturally speaking, you have changed, I'm quite sure, quite a few persons' minds.
Well, we're sure of that, and we hope for the best, so far as the future is concerned.
Well, thank you an awful lot, Mr. Frank Lloyd Wright.
A vintage interview here on WRCO from our archives. Again, undocumented announcer from WRCO and Mr. Frank Lloyd Wright, 1957 interview, as we cap off this portion of the morning show.